for this time out, and I believe God is going to be reaching out to us today in His strength and His power, and the Word of God is going to come to us alive and strong. We're going to be considering spiritual maturity, and I hope and believe that I'll be able to run through it the whole of today, as God will give us grace. You know, we have 30 minutes, we have a break, we have another 30 minutes, then I'll come pray for people who are believing God for a touch in their life. And I believe God today that God's going to be reaching out to you as we have this Bible study, going through the Word of God, going through Scriptures, and see what God will have to say to us. I believe God for a miracle for you, for your loved ones, for your family. Let's worship the Lord. Father, we thank you. We want to bless you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. And you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb upon the throne. And unto you I lift my voice to sing. You are the Lamb upon the throne. Your name is higher above all the names. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher above all the names. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher above all the names. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher above. Your name is Jesus.
Your name is Lord.
Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are kind. Lord, you are wonderful, my God. Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are so good.
Oh, Lord, Lord, you are kind. My God, you are wonderful. My God,
you are
excellent. Is your name. Your power. Wonderful name, Jesus.
that wonderful name, Jesus, that wonderful name, Jesus, there is no other name I know. That wonderful name, Jesus, that wonderful name, Jesus, that wonderful name, Jesus. There is no other name I know. Father, we thank you. We want to honor you today for what you are to us. Your faithfulness, your loving kindness that is greater than life. In Jeremiah 31 verse 3, he says, you have loved us with an everlasting love. We want to thank you for loving us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of breath and of life. We thank you. Thank you. We ask, Lord, that your hand will be mighty upon our lives. And you open our eyes, open our hearts, give us illumination. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Your word is coming. Let it be a blessing to us. There's so many healings that are taking place right now. Even before the word comes forth, there's healing, miracles that's taking place.
Tu prends place.
God is healing people.
Dieu est en train de guérir les gens.
Setting the captives free.
Il est en train de libérer les captifs.
And the bound loose. People with water spirits.
Les gens avec l'esprit
spirits
des eaux.
The water, the marine spirits.
Les esprits des marins.
Troubling you. God is breaking that connection.
Les de les briser.
Deliverance is taking place.
La délivrance est en train de prendre place.
Thank you, Father.
Merci, Père.
Blessed be your name.
Nous bénissons ton nom.
In Jesus' name.
En le nom de Jésus.
Amen. I want to talk to you on spiritual maturity. And I'd like us to consider something from the book of Luke chapter 15. We'll read from verse 11. Luke 15 from verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. His living. It's very important that you understand that it was not his inheritance, his living, his living. I need you to put that in the back of your mind. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk, with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants But my fathers have bread enough and to spare. I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, understand the concept of that scripture. A certain man had two sons. Life has two sides. A certain man has two sons. That tells us, interpretedly, that life has two sides. In life, you see, God said something while he was trying to qualify himself in Isaiah chapter 55, if you read verse 8 and verse 9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. So God says, I operate in two dimensions, thoughts, ways. God clearly defined his expressive ability on man. How he guards man, how he relates with man, are two dimensions, thoughts and ways. Thoughts and ways. If you can understand the mystery of thoughts and the mystery of ways. In other words, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. So it is the thoughts that determines the ways. It is the thoughts that determines the way. Don't forget what the Bible says in Genesis 11, the last part of verse 6. He said, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. The thoughts. To do the ways. But it begins with the thoughts. Nothing will be restrained from them. That's why I say to people that the biggest nation in the world is not America, it's not Europe, it's not Canada. The biggest nation in the world is the mind. And that's why it's called imagination. When you think, you form image. When you think, you form pictures. Okay? So when God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So God's dimension in relating with all is through thinking and ways. Don't forget in Proverbs 23 verse 7, he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart. So before we take steps, it has to come through imagination. We have to think before steps. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12, the Bible said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end are the ways of death. He repeated the same thing in Proverbs 16:25, I believe. There was a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end are the ways of death. Before we take ways, there must first of all be thoughts. Okay, so life has two sides. Just the way when Joseph was interpreting the dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I saw certain cattle that were looking so plumpy. They emerged out of the sea. And later I saw seven tiny cattle. And these seven tiny cattle swallowed the very fleshy cattle. And that was what Joseph said to him. That is life. Life has two sides. Joseph said the seven speaks of duration, the number of years. And the seven fat cows speaks of abundance, the years of abundance. The seven tiny cows speak of the year of famine. If you don't handle the year of abundance, the year of famine will swallow the year of abundance. That is what life is. Life has got two sides. Life leaves you with options. And that is why you must be very careful. Because when there are so many options, if you are not guided, you will make mistakes in life. A man had two sons. The story of this young man, the Bible used the word younger son, speaks of immaturity. Younger son. I'm not going to talk of spiritual immaturity. I'm going to talk of maturity. Because if I'm going to get into immaturity, we are going to spend a whole lot. 3-4 days, we are still here. I want to talk about maturity. Maturity is after he came back. His process of coming back. Okay. He said, the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. Give me the portion. Now,
We understand from what we read that this whole story, before I start picking out the points at the proof of maturity, tells us about how God daily waits for the sinner. If you study your Bible, this young man said, I will go back to my father. I will return back to my father. And the Bible says, while he was coming, the father saw him afar off. Afar off. The father saw him afar off. When the father saw him coming, the father met him. He said, the father, great way off. The father saw him. That's what I see on the screen. Great way off. His father saw him and had compassion. Great way off. Now, for you to see somebody from a distance, it means you have been waiting for that person. You have been daily coming out to check out for that person. Now, listen to this. No matter how merciful God is, he will show you mercy until you ask him for it. God daily waits for the sinner. It's a proof to us that God every day is waiting for you to just call. He's waiting for you to just reach out to him and just say, Lord, help me. Save me. Strengthen me. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this on my own. I need help. And God is going to help you. The sum total of the story also showed us the mystery of domestic wickedness. This also shows us, the story also showed us the mystery of domestic wickedness. His problem was not even external. His problem was internal, because when he came home, the brother resisted him. The best thing that happened to this young man was that when he came to his senses, his father was still alive. If his father was dead before he realized himself, then his realization would have come to naught, because the elder brother would have prevented him from having access. The elder brother here speaks of a concept of people who have been so religious and have become too familiar with spiritual matters. The word elder here speaks of the religious sect of people who have been so much in the house and they have become too familiar. They have become too natural. Not humanity, that's different, but naturality. I'm going to be explaining all of that as we go on. So we see that from the Bible that this young man was having issues. And he ran into lack. It also tells us that there is no scarcity in God. Peace is in abundance. Joy is in abundance. Life is in abundance. In God there is no scarcity. That's what this story tells us. That in God we have no scarcity. Okay? So it's very important that we understand that. When he returned back, he left the house. When he returned back to the house, we're going to pick something out. When he was in the father's house, there was something that kept pulling him to leave. Something kept telling him to leave. And when he was to return now, when he was now grown, by reason of what he saw outside, he took certain decisions. Okay? While he was inside, he took a decision. While he was outside, he took a decision that was now matured and brought him back. So when was the growth process? While he went outside, while he was hungry, while he was alone, while he was abandoned, he was forsaken. So the challenges of life that comes our way as believers are meant to mature us. Okay? They are meant to mature us. They are meant to make us mature. That is why no believer says, I'm suffering. What they say is that I'm growing. Because as you go through the battles of your life, you begin to grow. It helps you to see God in a different light. It makes you understand God and love him the more. The challenges of life should not make you, as a seed of God, should not make you sit back and whimper in regret and in pain and self-defeat. No, but rather to say to God, I love you. And because the Bible says he sees the end from the beginning. His ways are past finding out, and there is no searching to his understanding. He has thought for you. In Psalm 139 verse 17, he said, how precious are thy thoughts towards me. Great is the sum of them. God thinks, he has an agenda for your life. Great is the sum, the total of them. Jeremiah 29:11, popular verse of scripture. The Bible says, I know the thought I think towards you. Thought of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Another translation says, to give you a future and a hope. So God has got an agenda for your life. He's got a plan.
The Bible says in this message version, I know what I am doing. I like this. God says, I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. Oh, Kap Aliade Suraj. He said, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. So never get to a point in your life where you think that God has abandoned or left you alone. Okay. So we discover that God waits for the sinner. As we study the scripture, we're going to consider the first proof of maturity. When he came back, he was desirous of his father. He said, I return home. Now, he could have sent a mistress home. He could have sent people to go talk to his father. But he said, no, I am going. The first proof of spiritual maturity is passion for divine presence. I want to go back to my father's house. I'm going back there. I will say to him, I have sinned. Passion for his presence. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. You see, anytime you are out of God's presence, you are released to the worst. Anytime God's presence lifts up from a man, that man is released to the worst. And you remember Genesis chapter 4 verse 6? Okay, you remember Genesis 4 verse 6? And Genesis 4 verse 16, we see what happened to the young man called Cain. Verse 6, God questioned him. Verse 16, Bible says he went out of the presence of God. And that was when he killed his brother. Now, something happened, if you study your Bible, when Moses was speaking to the Lord in Genesis, in Exodus 33, not Genesis, Exodus 33, verse 14 and verse 15. Exodus 33 verse 14 says, God gave them an assurance. He said, my presence will go with you. When he goes with you, you have rest. And Moses told him, verse 15, if your presence will not go with us, don't bother carrying us. Because we know that when your presence is with us, your presence engulfs and overwhelms and envelopes us. Then we are preserved. One of the signs a believer is getting matured, or a sign of maturity as a believer, is you are so hungry for divine presence. You are hungry for fellowship. Have you got to that point in your life when you have not had a quiet time, you are restless? It's a proof of maturity. You wake up in the morning, you are talking to your friends, something tells you you have not had a quiet time. Something tells you you need to pray. And I tell believers all the time, when you start feeling that restlessness, do it right there. Don't procrastinate. Don't postpone. It's okay. Before the end of the day, I'm going to pray. No. When you feel like praying, pray. When the passion comes for you to pray, take out time, pray. Don't say you're going to pray at the end of the day. I'm going to pray at night. I'm going to wake up and pray tomorrow. No. Pray right there. Passion for divine presence. And I've talked about the Holy Spirit. I've talked about how to attract the presence of God. And I told you one of the places is environment matters. Location matters. Take out time. And that's when you begin to seek God. You are hungry for the presence of God. I'm going to say something that if you are not really mature, you won't understand this. To get to God, most times you must get away from people. To get to God, most times you must get away from people. And that's why the higher you go in the spirit, the fewer your friends. The higher you go in the spirit, the fewer friends you have. As you grow in the spirit, your friends begin to drop. That's the truth. That's the truth. When there are still so much of them, so not because they are not good people, but somehow you are at a level and at a realm in life where you don't have a common ground. You can't hold a conversation because the things you are passionate about, the things your heart panted for, are not the things their heart is panting for, are not the things they are passionate about. So you can't hold a conversation. The very people you spend time on the phone with, all of a sudden when they are talking to you, you are so bored because your heart is indicting a good matter. You are passionate about something different than they are passionate about. His presence. The first thing about the presence of God is that the presence of God gives joy. Psalm 16:11, thou will show me the path of life, for in thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Once you just see yourself excited, not happiness. The fruit of the Spirit is not happiness. Okay, happiness is a function of happenings. Happenings. Events. Money comes to your hand, you are happy. Meaning that is, you know, triggered by an event. You just bought a car, you are smiling, you are happy. You just built a house, you are happy. But joy is by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God. And that's what the Bible says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and joy and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You don't have money in your pocket, but you are smiling, you are excited. You have nothing with you, but you are excited. The presence of God is a proof of the Spirit. Once you have the Spirit of God, the evidence is that you enjoy the presence of God. Psalm 51:11, it said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. It's a proof of the Spirit. There's an overwhelming assurance that you have when you have the presence of the Lord. Number three, the presence of the Lord gives you security. The Bible says in Isaiah 63:9, the angel of his presence saved us. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love, in his pity, he redeemed them. So once you have the presence of God, you begin to enjoy strange and uncommon security. And no, don't forget, I told you, one of the proof of maturity is divine presence. And one of the proof that you have the presence of God is that you begin to enjoy maturity, you begin to enjoy security, you begin to enjoy abundance, as it were. You know, when Adam sinned, one of the things we noticed that Adam did was Adam sinned. Adam saw himself afraid. Afraid. Genesis 3:9-10. What are thou? He said, I hid myself because I was afraid. I was naked. Meaning the presence of God had lifted from Adam. So when God's presence is out of your life, you lack security. You become empty. That's the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes upon a man. Now in the face of confrontation, there is this security he had. Something happened some time ago. I was living in a house. I used to stay somewhere. And I think there was no light. There was no power. There was power outage. And I opened the front door. So I lay down in the living room. And I had armed robbers robbing in the next flat. And you know, they said to the people, where does that pastor live? Where does the pastor live? And the people said, he's in the next flat. He's in the next flat. So somebody sneaked from behind and called me. He said, please lock your door. They are coming. I said, no problem. I heard them. I lay down on that couch. And I slept off. I didn't know where I slept off. I woke up. The door was still open. Nobody could enter. And I asked myself a question. Am I okay? I heard the robbers were on their way to this flat and I slept. There was this overwhelming assurance that I had that I am untouchable. It was indescribable. I heard them. You go. I heard them. He said, please unlock the door. I said, no problem. Now, I had the intention to stand up, lock the door. I had that intention to do that. I mean, I wasn't trying to tempt the Lord. I had intention. But I looked at the door and I just, okay, I slept off. When I woke up, the day was bright. And they said, can you let this door open? They went round everywhere. They could not. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But there was an overwhelming presence of God that gave me security. It was the presence of God. Okay. So it's very important that we understand what the presence of God can give. If you have that presence, it gives you, number one, like I said, presence of God gives you joy. Presence of God gives you security. Presence of God is a proof of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right. So we see the presence of God guides you.
The presence of God guides. You see, one of the problems that the prodigal son lacked was a lack of guidance. Nobody talked to him. Nobody instructed him. And that's what people don't know. Galatians 4 verse 1 says the heir, so long he's a child, does not differ from a servant, though he's the Lord of all. He has to remain under teachers and tutors until the time appointed of the father. So long as a child, he has no access to precious matters. So long as a child, there's a level and a realm he cannot access until he's grown. Why does he have to stay under teachers and tutors? He stays under teachers and tutors. So he is taught. He is tutored. And that leads to growth. Nobody to guide him. Nobody to instruct him. And that's the generation we live in. We live in a generation when people feel you don't need anybody to tell you anything. The Bible calls it a perverted generation. An adulterous generation. When people tell you, you don't need the pastor. You say, man of God. Say, what about you? Are you not a man of God? But in scripture, the Bible calls people men of God. So are you trying to say the Bible is wrong? Why didn't scripture call everybody a man of God? He said, to some, he gave apostles. To some, he didn't say to all. To some, he gave teachers. But when people try to use logic to interpret scriptures, they make you feel you don't need any form of guidance. You don't need guidance. And look at our world today. Is it becoming better or is it becoming worse? So you don't need anybody to pray for you. Pray for yourself. You don't need anybody to intercede for you. You can intercede. We all have the same access to God. Of course we do have the same access to God. Listen, let me say this to you. The presence of God can be, we all have access to God, we all have access to the presence of God, but there is something called the manifest presence of God. Okay, the Shekinah glory of God. No, we all have access to God, so why do we need special? Don't we all have access to football? Why do we go to the stadium? We all have access to football. We all have access to the classroom. We have access to books, rather. So why do we go to the classroom? Access to buying from the shop. Why do we go to the marketplace? Don't let anyone fool you. Have a scriptural relationship with God. Okay? There were prophets in scriptures. Now, don't get me wrong. There can be people who are making nuisance of the calling of God. There are people that are making mess. That does not deny reality. That there is a bad government does not deny the fact that you need the government. Okay, so don't let that bother you. That there is a bad wife doesn't deny the fact that you need to get married. So don't let people prescribe a drug that is more dangerous than the disease. I'll just take this time off and I'll come back to talk to you again on the concluding part of spiritual maturity. And maybe hear a few testimonies if there are some, and then I'll pray with you. I'll be with you after this time out.
Welcome back, welcome back. Don't forget, I said one of the signs of spiritual maturity is when you begin to have passion for the presence of God. Amen. Passion for the presence to carry God himself. It's not passion for the marriage you lost, the restoration of it. Now, in life, in our spiritual walk with God, it's not about what you lost, but who you've lost. It's not about the what, but the who you've lost. Now, if you discover what the young man kept emphasizing was the father, the father, the father. He knew that every other thing was common. All I just want is to get, if I can get my father's attention. So it's not about what you lost, it's about who you've lost. And that is the father. He came to the father. God, no matter how desperate God is, he's not going to come for you. You come to him. You come to him. He's close, but he wants you to call upon him. Okay, he was passing by. Blind Bartimaeus cried out. He said, okay, now you got my attention. You have to initiate it. All right. So it's very important from the scriptures that we've read. We discover he was so eager to come back to the Father. The second sign and proof of maturity is that the young man began to see life as a privilege. Life is a privilege. So, the first proof of maturity is passion for his presence. The second proof, I'm telling you now, his maturity came through the things he suffered. Like the Bible says, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Now, the proof of his maturity was that he began to see life as a privilege. That he even equated himself as one of the servants. See, I'm not even qualified to be a son. I went outside. I have seen a lot. And now, I'm not even qualified to be a son. And this is what a lot of people don't know. Whatever you are today, whatever you have, any position you occupy that seems pleasant and honorable is a privilege. Elijah said to the Lord, he said, I'm the only prophet of God that is left. And God said, I'm sorry. I have 7,000 that has not bowed their knees to Baal. In fact, that statement from Elijah. Now look what Elijah said. He was afraid of Jezebel, but that didn't bother God. As soon as he said, I am the only one left, God said, no. No one is indisposable. He said, I'm going to kick you out. God never gave him a response. God never even gave him comfort. I expected the Lord to say, oh my son, don't worry. Be of good cheer. God said, okay. Since you want to retire, I'll retire you premature. And that's why, like I was teaching you, that John had to come again because the assignment of Elijah was not complete. And John was killed. And Elijah's spirit is going to come back upon us as intercession before the rapture. All right. So, seeing life as a privilege. Life is not a problem to be solved. Life is a gift to be enjoyed. Life is not a problem to be solved. Life is a gift to be enjoyed. You see life as a privilege. See what wherever you are, whatever you occupy today as a privilege. When you see it as a privilege, your position, that privileged position, will not consume or swallow you up. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Take me as thy servant. Life is a privilege, not a right. Life is a privilege. You know how people express privilege, you see. When people place demands, they see life as a right. When people place demands, give me, my father, give me the portion that falleth to me. You see, he saw life as a right. The other came, he said, make me. He saw life as a privilege. Those who see life as a right like to be given. But those who see life as a privilege like to be made. Make me. Make me. We see three things there. Three expression of privilege. Number one, humility. He demeaned himself. He demeaned himself. Humility.
Humility. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5. It says, God resisted the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So if you are a proud man, your number one enemy is God, not Satan. God resists the pride. He gives grace. James chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, James chapter 4, verse 6. He gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 15:33. The Bible says, before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. In Philippians 2, if you read verse 8, he said he humbled himself unto death, even death on the cross. Humility. When you see life from the lens of humility, then you are seeing life as a privilege. You are humble. You are humble. You are humble. So it's very important that we begin to imbibe that character. The prodigal son sat back and thought about life, and he saw it as a privilege. The second proof or second sign of privilege is seeing, is agreeing rather, that you are wrong. You must agree you are wrong. You see, when people say they are wrong or people agree they are wrong, you know, because the apology comes without explanation. If the prodigal son had said, my father, I'm sorry, but I want to say something. How come all I went through, you didn't look for me? It's okay, it's fine, but I'm sorry. Whenever people come to apologize and they give excuses or explanation, they are not truly sorry. When people apologize and give a clause, I'm sorry. But the truth is, no, that's not apology. An apology is total. It's void of a clause. You say, I am wrong. I am sorry. Admit that you are wrong. Admit you can be wrong. Admit there are people in marriages who are never wrong. Okay? Your husband talks to you, you are never wrong. You're always looking for how to tell him his fault. Your wife talks to you, everything she says, don't tell me, I know what I'm doing. Many times my wife talks to me and tells me this aspect, I say, okay, I'm listening. Okay, this aspect, okay, fine. I'm going to make amends. It doesn't take anything from you. The same thing I talk to her. This, okay, I'm going to make amends. It doesn't take anything from couples. It doesn't take anything from friends, from colleagues in the office. You can be wrong. The only thing that cannot be corrected is a dictionary. You're not a dictionary. You can be corrected. We go to the dictionary to get look for definitions. You are not a dictionary. You can be corrected. You can be wrong. Admit you are wrong. There are so many people who are very defensive. They are very defensive. Before you say something to them, they pick a fault. Either they tell you your tone is wrong. Say, okay, why are you shouting now? Why are you shouting? Could you just talk to me in a low tone? The problem is not the tone. Admit you are wrong. Okay, so you must understand that you can be wrong. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Sometimes that tells us that what we do to people, heaven sees it and feels it. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Sometimes you offend heaven by the way you treat people. The way he treated his father, he knew heaven felt it. The way you treat your husband, the way you treat your wife, you know heaven is watching. Sometimes I tell people, you can never be successful in life. Godliness. Success with godliness. You can never achieve success with godliness, ministry, business, without having humanity. Humanity in the sense there are some people who want God to use them, but they are naturally bad people. Their heart is bad. They don't care how they treat people. They don't care how people feel. This young man knew I treated my father wrongly, because what the father gave him was half of his living. In other words, what the father lived on, what he survived on, cutting half of it is like taking the man's oxygen. So he felt it. He said, "What I did to you, I know heaven felt the pain."
Someone that gives you a platform in life. You don't treat them like that. This man brought into this world, gave you a platform to be his son, and now you are reacting this way. You see, how do you treat people? There are people that want to be successful in business. They carry books, 10 keys to success. It doesn't matter all the books you read with all the keys. If you are naturally a wicked person, those keys will not work for you. Even in ministry, there are people, take aside the anointing on them, naturally they are compassionate. Check them, they do well in ministry. Just take the anointing aside, naturally they are good people. They are compassionate people. They feel the pulse of others. But there are some people, the anointing, before the anointing comes on them, naturally, they are wicked. You see it in their leadership, it's self-centered. They think about themselves alone. They cage everybody. No freedom. People are suffering, dying under their watch. Because naturally, they are wicked. How you treat people, heaven watches you. How you treat even your security guard, heaven is at watch. How you treat the house help. Look at the way Naaman's wife treated the house help. The maid in Naaman's house was the person who gave the prescription and recommendation for Elisha, for Naaman to be healed by the prophet Elisha. How do you treat people? He said, I've sinned against heaven. It was a sin against heaven. He said, but before thee. You know what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife? He said, your husband put me in charge. There is nobody in this house greater than your husband. Or greater than me, except your husband. I'm in charge of everybody. And now you offer yourself to me? He said, no. How will I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It is wickedness to man, but it's sin to God. In other words, I have a humanity. I have a humanity. The things you do to people, it triggers a response in heaven. Okay? It triggers a response. Don't forget, life is a privilege. Don't be too carried away. Even if you can pay for a car, still pray about it. Even if you can pay for it, still pray about it. Even if you can pay for a new apartment, still ask the Lord, should I move in there? Because Sodom and Gomorrah looked well watered. It looked well watered. And because Lot walked with the eyes of the flesh, he regretted it. Because humanity is important. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Now look what he said. The third sign and third trigger of privilege is availability, self-availability. Make me one of your hired servants. Whenever you see life as a privilege, you are ready to serve. You are not ready to be served, but you are ready to serve. In church, at home, you are ready to serve. You are ready to serve. Have the heart of a servant. Jesus said, does anyone want to be great? Let him be a servant. Okay, you must be ready to serve. Serve the Lord. Serve your community. Serve your nation. Someone needed Jesus' attention and couldn't get it. And people spoke for him. He said, this man, he loveth our nation. How? He has built for us a synagogue. Now, after this lockdown is over, the best you can do is to serve in your local church like never before. Like never before. Serve in your local church like never before. Okay? Like never before. Readiness to serve. Willingness to serve. Availability. That was what Elijah did. Isaiah rather. He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm ready to serve. Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to say to the Lord, I'm available for you to use me. I'm available to be used by you. I'm available to be your vessel. Use me, Lord. I'm available. That's what God wants from you. That's what God wants of you. I have so many other things to talk about, but like I said, we don't exceed an hour. And I'm going to just take a few testimonies and approach. Don't forget, tomorrow we are going to be praying scriptures. Each scripture I bring forth, we're going to be having a wonderful warfare time to pray. We're going to take our time to pray the word of God, you know, to pray scriptures into our life. And I'm going to read each scripture, explain them, and then we'll begin to pray. How do you pray scriptures into your life? And it becomes a part of you and begins to produce results. We're going to hear just very few testimonies, and then I'll pray with you and believe God for a miracle for you. Good evening, Papa. I was booked for operation on the 24th March, but was later postponed due to COVID-19 pandemic. I followed your prayer and fasting on Wednesday, and the pain in my lower abdomen, the reason for the operation, disappeared. Thank you, Lord. Praise and thanks to your God. Eunice from Germany. Eunice, the pain is gone and it will never return. In Jesus' mighty name. Eunice, you are healed. What a God we serve. Good morning, Papa. My last child is 4 years old. I've been having miscarriage ever since. But when I connected my faith with Papa, I became pregnant again. After 1 month plus, I stopped having the symptoms. Rather, I was seeing blood. But during the teaching of the Holy Spirit, Papa prayed concerning the fruit of the womb. I connected my faith. I went to the hospital. The doctor said, I am pregnant. The baby is in good condition. I'm here to return the glory to God. Mrs. Julia, you will carry that pregnancy until full term and deliver like the Hebrew women. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Good morning. I'm in Cameroon. I placed a picture of my parents. My mom is having difficulty in walking, and my dad has diabetes and is made whole. I'm sure you're trying to say he's made whole. Ari, Diane, Cameroon. Thank you, Father. What a God we serve. He's a God of miracles. Good morning, Daddy. I'm Evangelist Anita Nkechi Nwanegbo, a partner as well. Was watching from my bed in my bedroom. I have been having these palpitations for the past few days as I placed my phone on my chest. While my eyes was on the TV watching, the palpitations stopped immediately. From Manchester, UK. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, Papa. You called my name of Ashma. I am healed instantly. Thank you, Jesus. Kate from Cameroon. Thank you, Father. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Let's take just two testimonies more, just two more, and then I'll pray. As Papa was praying this afternoon, I received my healing on my left leg, and after the prayers, all the pains are gone. Mrs. Omar, it is gone. In the name of Jesus. I had a severe chest pain after Papa's prayer. It's like something left me. I'm free now. In Jesus' name. Destiny from Genova, Italy. It's all right. Let's stop here. We'll continue tomorrow. There are testimonies that are going to come tomorrow. Mighty testimonies. Mind-blowing testimonies. I need you to place your hand where you need a miracle. If you're sick in body, place your hand there. Any part of your body that's hurting, place your hand. Place your left hand there. And touch the screen or the whatever, you know, device you're watching from. Just touch it with your right hand. Believe God for a healing. Believe God for a miracle.
Croyez en Dieu pour un miracle.
Believe God to touch you.
Croyez en Dieu qu'il va vous toucher.
And breathe upon me bread of heaven. Breathe upon me spirit of the Lord. As I lift my hands in surrender to your name, Most High, I am yielding to your spirit. I am walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Your holy name. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Your holy name. I command sickness.
Je commande les maladies.
Someone has a growth.
Quelqu'un a un tumeur.
The doctor told you have a growth.
Le docteur vous a dit que vous avez un tumeur.
Now the growth has disappeared.
Le tumeur vient de disparaître.
Someone on the right, you have a swelling, a growth inside your right,
vous avez
your left
un bouton
ear.
Dans l'oreille.
Your left ear.
Dans l'oreille droite.
Inside.
À l'intérieur.
You, when you touch it, you feel the growth normally.
Et vous avez les douleurs.
Now touch it because the growth has disappeared.
Cela vient de disparaître.
God has healed you.
Le Seigneur vous a guéri.
There's a lady who has been in labor for 3 weeks.
Il y a une fille qui voulait accoucher depuis 3 semaines.
It's a boy. It's a baby boy you have inside you.
Tu es un garçon.
You give birth to that child right now.
Tu vas donner naissance à cet enfant maintenant.
His name shall be called Jephthah.
Son nom sera Jephthah.
I decree.
Je déclare.
Deliver like the Hebrew women.
Délivre maintenant comme les femmes d'Hébreu.
Someone who is blind on the right eye, God is healing you. There's a man, you left the house. You're actually watching me from somewhere. You had issues with your wife and you left the house. There's an issue going on right now. It's about money. You left the house. Because there's a missing money. It's an issue about missing money. The Lord is not to tell you. But you should go check the frame. There is a frame that has the picture of you and your wife. And the Lord said, just move the frame. The money is there.
L'argent est là.
Go back home.
Rentre à la maison.
There's a frame that has a picture of you and your wife.
Et y a l'image de ta femme et
move
toi.
The frame. The money is there. Nobody stole the money.
Enlève.
Go back home.
Et tu verras
God
l'argent.
Is bringing peace into your home.
Et amène la paix dans
There's
ta
a woman
y a une femme
who was operated
qui est opéré
of fibroid. And the fibroid developed again. The Lord is healing you.
Le Seigneur te guérit
permanently.
Permanentement.
The Lord is touching you.
Le Seigneur te touche.
Everyone with sickle cell anemia has been healed.
Qui a les problèmes des os sont guéris.
From SS to AA.
De SS à AA.
The genotype is changed.
Les génotypes sont changés.
I come against ulcer.
Je viens contre l'ulcère.
Cancer.
Le cancer.
Tumor.
Les tumeurs.
HIV.
Le VIH.
Hepatitis B.
Tout est parti.
Coronavirus.
Le virus corona.
Sugar diabetes.
Le diabète.
Whatever it is.
Quel que soit votre maladie.
Come out.
Sort.
Someone called Juliet.
Il y a quelqu'un qui s'appelle Juliette.
You have appendicitis.
Tu as l'appendicite.
You are healed.
Tu es guéri.
Someone who you're watching me, you have a black bag by your side.
Tu as un sac.
And you have your inhalers inside.
Et tu as l'inhaler à l'intérieur.
Because of asthma.
Parce que à cause de l'asthme,
the asthma dies.
L'asthme meurt.
I decree healing in your body.
Je déclare la guérison dans ton corps.
Be healed.
Sois guéri.
There is a driver.
Il y a un chauffeur.
You work for the government.
Tu travailles pour le gouvernement.
You have an only son.
Tu as un seul fils.
Who is mad.
Qui est fou.
Stone mad.
Qui est fou.
He's in a psychiatric home.
Et qui est dans la maison des cicatrices.
Right now his senses are restored.
Que ses sens soient restaurés.
In the name of Jesus. Someone has lost appetite for a couple of months. The Lord is restoring it right now.
Que tes appétits soient restaurés.
The Lord make you whole.
Le Seigneur te guérit.
The Lord heal you.
Le Seigneur te guérit complètement.
In Jesus' name.
Dans le nom de Jésus.
Right where you are, you want to make peace with God.
Vous voulez faire la paix avec Dieu.
Say this after me, my heavenly Father.
Dis mon Père céleste.
I come to you today.
Je viens à toi ce jour.
Just as I am.
Comme je suis.
Have mercy on me.
Aie bonté sur moi.
Write my name.
Écris mon nom.
In the book of life.
Dans le livre de vie.
I believe in my heart.
Je crois de mon cœur.
I confess with my mouth.
Je confesse de ma bouche.
That Jesus.
Que Jésus.
Is my Lord.
Est mon Seigneur.
And my Savior.
Et mon Sauveur.
I'm born again.
Je suis né de nouveau.
I pray for you. You will not fail.
Tu ne chuteras pas.
You will not fall.
Tu ne chuteras pas.
You will not falter.
Tu ne tomberas pas.
In Jesus' name.
Dans le nom de Jésus.
I'll see you again tomorrow.
Je vous verrai demain.
My name is Johnson Suleiman.
Mon nom c'est Johnson Suleiman.
Have a good night.